No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the trainer,
take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. This is Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And last week, actually last couple weeks, you know, we've been talking about my little adventure with Captain Clay flying down through the Caribbean in his Saratoga Piper, having a good time. And
Piper Saratoga.
Well, you could flip them if you want, if you're slightly dyslexic, like most.
10 out of 7 pilots are dyslexic.
There you go. See?
That's right.
Keith backs me up on that. So anyway, he's going to join us a little bit later on, so we'll get, you know, we'll get to that in just a bit. But, you know, last week I was so, I don't know, filled with information that I wanted to share with our passengers. I kind of overlooked a thing that Keith had just got back from Alaska, because we were going to talk about some of his little adventure. And I don't know how this happened, but the whole show last week ended up being about me.
Like every other show we've done.
I don't know what you're talking about. Keith, what is this? What's going on?
You're full of yourself.
Okay. Well, we knew that. I didn't know. That's the first time someone said you're full of yourself.
But, well, it was radio. That's why he used that.
It is a family show, so we have to keep it.
So says you. All right.
Yes.
Anyway, I am going to defer my topics of discussion for today on Just Plain Radio and turn it over to Captain Keith. How's that? I'm turning over a new leaf.
I'm impressed.
You got 5 minutes, tops.
So,
go.
So am I, and I might say that I'm speechless, but you know that never happens with me either.
Yeah, no, that doesn't either.
Yeah, true. All right, yeah.
I took my lovely bride on an Alaskan cruise a couple of weeks ago for our 30th anniversary. She's put up with me for 30 years, so you know she had to get something out of it. And Ed can understand that.
Yep.
You know, Greg knows a little bit, but
yeah.
At any rate, you know, Alaska is just a beautiful, beautiful country, but. You know, there's a lot of things out there that are for pilots. Alaska, Juneau, for instance, the capital, you can only get there by boat or by airplane. They only have 48 miles of road in the whole city. Hmm. And so, you know, everything is flown in or brought in by boat. So there's so many pilots up there. And, of course, the tourism business up there is huge. And, you know, if you want to learn how to fly and go up and get some beautiful flight time, a lot of people go up there with their commercial pilot's certificate. If you got a seaplane rating, seaplanes galore up there, all over Alaska. And then also just doing tours and things like that with airplanes, just taking people from the cruise ships alone and just doing little tours is a wonderful, wonderful way to build flight time. It'd be awfully beautiful. I'm thinking I might have found my retirement job.
Retirement
job? What do you think, Ed?
Really? I'm thinking it sounds like it.
You're going to be an Alaska ice pilot, or like Ariel up there from flying Alaska.
Yeah, I'm going to go visit Ariel, and she and I are going to become best buds. Yep. My wife may not appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't
so
think
much,
your
but...
wife might appreciate that.
No, by the way, congratulations to Juice. You know, Juice from the TV show Flying Alaska was Ariel's instructor. She just got engaged, I believe, last week.
Oh, cool.
So we'll send out some goodwill to her, towards her, because God knows she's going to need it. No, I'm just joking. I'm joking, honey. I'm never going to make it to 30.
You know, don't worry, some other she doesn't things. Listen to the show.
You should always tell your friends and loved ones, don't listen to our show.
Oh, I've told them that many times. Trust me.
So anyway, there's a lot of flying that goes on in Alaska, and it's absolutely beautiful. Although I did not get in an airplane while we were up there, but I tend to go back and do just that. But, you know, one of the things that we did in Skagway, Alaska, we took a train. We took the historic White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad that goes up, winds up through the mountains, and Skagway became a town simply because of the gold rush. It was the only way to get through the mountains to get up to the Klondike where they actually found gold. And so they built a railroad eventually. And so you take this railroad up. We took it up 27.5 miles up into the mountains. And then we got up there. And now, remember, my wife and I are from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a whole lot of winter clothes.
I can imagine.
The original thing that we wanted to do is take the train up and ride bicycles down.
Oh, yeah. We did that with the scouts at Pike's Peak.
Yeah. And very, very similar. And, however, that excursion was full, so we couldn't do that. So at the last minute, because I neglected to actually look at my email.
I'm shut shocked.
Up, Ed.
Surprise.
I'm shocked.
Yes.
So at the last minute, I find out that we weren't really going to do that. And so we picked something else. And my wife, she thought it was the train ride up and a float trip where the tour guide did most of the paddling. However, that's not what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a kayak trip on Glacier Lake.
Ooh, that's fun. That would be a lot of fun.
If you're properly equipped.
Right.
If you're properly equipped. However, my wife and I, you know, being from Florida, we don't have a whole lot of winter clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got up there, it was in the 30s, and it was raining.
Yeah, it does that in Alaska, I've heard.
However, the gentleman, his name is Dylan,
yeah,
who runs this excursion, he's in shorts and flip-flops.
What?
And
well, summer for them.
He's laughing about the fact that my wife and I are freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And but anyway, I got to say that Kellen and Dylan from Packer Expeditions did a fabulous job. We ended up, you know, my wife and I went into the restroom and we just started packing on the clothes that we had with us, and we had an absolute blast. These guys, they've got a number of different excursions that they do, and not just up in Alaska, but in the lower 48 as well. But PackerExpeditions.com, check them out. Kellen and Dylan, and you'll have a wonderful, wonderful time with these guys. So there's a lot of stuff to do up in Alaska.
Well, there you go. I have no doubt. And they enjoyed this just as much as you, because they got to make fun of you and your wife the entire time, or you know, splash water on
did.
You.
Well, no, they didn't. And no. I have to say,
what? Okay.
After 30 years of marriage, these were two people kayaks.
Ah.
They were not single. They were doubles.
So you did most of the rowing, is what you're saying.
Well, we both did rowing, but I sat in the back, and I was the one who had to do the steering.
Right.
And we were the only couple that didn't get into an argument.
Yeah, that's good for you.
So you just didn't talk the entire trip.
Exactly.
Oh, brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it sounds like you had a good time.
You know, after 30 years, you got to learn something. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
You don't have nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all. And then
you hear
this silence for the next 3 hours. As you freeze your race off in Alaska. But no, it does sound like a fun adventure.
Just remember that silence is a form of communication. Just remember, I did learn that over the last 30 years as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We've all experienced that.
Well, there you go. I think we got to go to Alaska, Ed. What do you think?
Are you paying?
No. But you don't need a passport, so you have no excuse.
I definitely think we should go up to Alaska and do our show from there.
All we got to do is get Juice on the line. Have her fly us up there to meet Ariel and the folks from Flying Alaska. And, you know, tell them we'll work it off with by, you know, doing some flights and running some, I don't know, like cereal over to another village or something. And
how are you going to do that, Greg?
I'll fly co-pilot.
Yeah, he'll fly co-pilot.
And I'll carry the boxes of cereal in my lap. How about that? Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So, but I've always wanted to go there. That's definitely on my list. I've not been to Alaska.
Oh, it's on my list. Absolutely. I think it would be gorgeous.
You know, all my places have been warm water type dive locations, but Alaska is definitely out there. But, you know, they have diving up there, but they got that issue of ice that you have to get through first, and the temperatures are not really conducive to my warm water wuss diving philosophy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of limited me
the years. Back to what Keith was saying about the float planes and the bush planes up there. Aviation is a huge, huge part of business and life in Alaska. So, yeah, I think that's something that every pilot should go experience, and I plan to at some point in time get the seaplane rating and go up there and get some flying with some people in that.
Yeah. No. And what about that, Keith?
You know, one of the very interesting things is if you talk to the seaplane pilots up there, hey, where'd you get your ratings at? down in Florida, very close to where Flight Training Professionals is located.
Disney World.
No. Jack Brown's.
Oh, yeah.
Jack
okay.
Brown's Seaplane. That's where they get their
rating. Really? So right down there in Lakeland. Isn't that in Lakeland? Or
Winter Haven.
Oh, Winter Haven. Okay.
Winter Haven.
Yeah.
So they would get their seaplane rating there and then fly back to Alaska.
Yeah.
How many of them come down here and then they don't leave? Like, hey, why did we live in Alaska? Look at this.
Well, most of them do not live in Alaska. Most of them live in the lower 48, and they go up there for the tourism season.
Ah, okay. Well, that
so
makes sense.
So they go up there for the cruise ships that come in and stuff like that, because they got three different government, fishing, and tourism. Like, there are three industries up there. Government is the only one that stays operating year-round.
Okay, more coming up on Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deep Water Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deep Water Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deep Water Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwaterkay.com. That's deepwaterkay.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
This test today, it's important.
I got it. I'm going to make you look good up there. Don't worry, okay? Now let's get these pants off and fly some planes.
I'm learning to fly around the clouds. But what goes up must come down. I'm learning to fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Okay, a lot of stuff going on in the aviation world of news here this week, and we'll touch on some of it right now. We've been talking about this way too much, unfortunately, and I wish I'd get it over with because my medical certificate is due for renewal, and I really don't want to pay that $100 if I don't have to, because it seems like they're getting closer, at least, to making a decision on this third-class medical, you think?
Well, I thought it would have been done by now from all the rhetoric we heard earlier in the summer. So I'm surprised it's not, but you would hope they're close.
Yeah, they're in the final pushes. Is that right, Keith? What are you hearing?
That's what I'm understanding. And so, yeah, we need to keep the pressure on. KPR, man. Or KPO. KPO, that's it.
KPO.
Keep pressure on.
Okay, fair enough.
How do we do that?
We got to do it by writing our congressmen and our senators. This is one of the things that, you know, AOPA is great. They support this, and they have fought for this. But now we have to do our part as individual pilots. I've done it. I know Ed has done it. Contact your senators and your congressmen, and please ask them to vote for this. With the pilot shortage coming up, it's actually already here.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a great way to get a lot more people involved in our industry that we all, whether you do it just for fun or whether you do it as a career like Ed and myself and supposedly Greg.
Well, I'm with you on this one big time.
Yeah, because it is something that, you know, it's not needed. With the medical advances and everything, this the third-class medical is just not needed.
Well, and here's something that just came out, I think it was today, in Prop Wash, where Aviation Medical, or actually, was it the Flying Doctors Association or Flying Physicians Association, polled their members. So these are doctors, practicing and retired doctors that are pilots as well,
mm-hmm. Right.
Which a large percentage are aviation medical examiners or military flight surgeons. And basically, they were saying 80% of their membership surveyed said the third class medical was not needed in its current format and was just overkill and was unnecessary paperwork. And so, and literally, and it was basically a letter that they wrote to the chairman of head of the Department of Transportation,
right?
And in saying you need to get rid of this, you need to move on it now. And so, like I say, I thought it was kind of timely that they're even saying it. You know, we did hear the Association of Aviation Medical Examiners were against it because, of course, that would be money out of their pocket. But
sure.
here's a group of flying physicians that say it's not needed, which is, you know, we all know it's not.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would be very interested to hear from a pilot who went through their third class medical physical and came back and told me they felt it was worth the $100 or whatever it cost them to have that done. And I can only speak from personal experience, but you know, I go have a physical every year for other reasons, you know, because of my diving, and everyone should have a physical.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have a physical, maybe that you do need to go to aviation doctor and do that if you want, but usually most people will go to their family doctor once a year for a little mm-hmm. checkup,
mm-hmm.
Have them check your blood, whatever they need to do. That's just good.
It's funny you should bring that up, because that's exactly what this gentleman from the Flying Physician Association said. You know, he said we need a better system to assist pilots in continuing to educate them on how to maintain their health,
mm-hmm.
and that talks about that they, you know, it should be an open system where they feel free to discuss issues with their regular physician and not be afraid of that affecting their flying, and it be a self decision based on what their discussions are with their regular treating physician who knows their history, because the aviation medical examiner doesn't know your history other than what you put on the little piece of paper.
Yeah, and I doubt there are many pilots out there that want to be flying their plane if they feel they're physically not up to it. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like a self-regulating kind of thing.
Yeah, it is already.
Yeah.
And it should be more so. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, we need to educate them on what to look for and how to make better decisions, because we all know that there are times that pilots let a lot of outside external pressures get in the way of the proper decision.
Right, of course.
When you look at the real statistics of this whole thing, this is a self-policing industry anyway.
Right. Yes.
And you know, a number of years ago in the airline industry, they came up with a airline safety program that allows pilots to, you know, if they have made a mistake, it allows them to fill out these forms, and the FAA looks at it, the company looks at it, the union looks at it, and because they self-disclosed, they were able to, you know, maybe get some retraining and so forth, but it wasn't a right away a 709 ride from the FAA, which mm-hmm. means that they're going to come in and say, are you qualified to hold your certificate? And so they found out an awful lot of things that were going on, and so, you know, people like us are able to retrain those things and redirect our training. And in this particular instance, people are going to say, hey, you know what? I don't feel real well. I am going to go to my doctor. Instead of saying, man, if I go to my doctor, I got to put it down on my medical that I went to see my doctor.
Right.
Somebody's going to look at it.
They're going to ground me. I'm going to have to do all this paperwork. It's going to be a headache.
It's going to be 6 to 9 months to get a special issuance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to, you know, as a professional pilot, that's time I can't work.
Yeah. No, there's definitely an incentive to not disclose because of that.
Yeah,
but
there really
is. Beyond that, I mean, once again, from my perspective, I've only had one third-class medical evaluation I've had to do so far, and God bless the doctor for doing it. He's really good, and I didn't have any problem with that, but I just had a physical like less than 30 days before I had to go and do this one.
Yeah,
and because he was aviation certified, and I was
the facts of the case are is that is what most pilots do, especially if they fly for a living. If
that's
they are a commercial pilot, you're going to go and you're going to get a physical because you want to find out if there's anything, because you do not want your FAA medical to be denied.
Well, true, yeah.
And so you're going to try and find out anything that's wrong with you prior to going to that. So typically, that's what you do.
Yeah,
you go to your family doctor who really knows who you are and knows what's going on with you. And you get that checked out first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, like, say, in my case, I have medicine that I take on a regular basis for control blood pressure, which I went through the process of getting all the paperwork I needed to get it approved. I, you know, took that from my family physician to my aviation medical examiner, went through no problem.
Yeah, and then I came along and took his blood pressure right back up to where it wasn't supposed to be.
So, are there enough drugs in the world to get down from that?
Yeah, maybe. All right, more coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm going to fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
You can get involved and make a difference on this third class medical issue that the AOPA has been leading the charge on. Now, they have form letters. You can just go and shoot an email to your congressman right there at AOPA.org. And by the way, it's House Representative Bill 3708, Senate Bill 2103. Once again, all this stuff is up there at AOPA.org. And I believe they have a link right there on their homepage for it somewhere, surely. It shouldn't be hard to find about the third-class medical.
Yeah, man.
They do, and I think it's important to note here, too, that this is not just about, you know, somebody who's learning how to fly. We all have to get involved in this, because even if you're an airline transport pilot and you're listening to us right now, you really need to do this as well, even though it doesn't affect you today, because it will affect you later on in life. You know, once you retire from the airlines and no longer need to have that first class medical, or whether you got a corporate job or something like that, you will at some point want to continue to fly, and you will need a third class medical to do so. And so it does affect everybody.
And it affects the general public, in that if we get more people involved in aviation that might want to be in the career path, they'll eventually have to get the second class and the first class medicals. But getting them interested in, hey, there's a pilot shortage coming here, basically. It's going to get worse. People are not going to be able to get the airline flights that they're used to getting, because there's going to be a short of pilots, and there's going to be a shortage of flights because they're going to start canceling flights. So general public, if you're listening to it, even if you're not a pilot yet, you should get in and comment. And it is. I'm on there right now, AOPA.org, center of the page, about halfway down, call to action, medical reform, urge members of of Congress to co-sponsor the bills, and it lists it all there. There's a link right there that can take you to the proper place to give your opinion.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a member of AOPA to go on that website.
Correct.
To that part there.
It does
but
affect
you
everybody.
You should join the AOPA, though, because they help to fight these battles.
Absolutely.
And you're going to be able to join AOPA through our website here very shortly.
We've got a little AOPA logo right there on the website at Just Plane Radio.
And Flight Training Professionals.
Well, there you go. More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
How soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean I'm just not sure.
Well, can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come on and fly with me, let's fly away. They say, come fly with me, let's fly away.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. And now we are joined by Captain Clay as well. He has joined our crew today on Just Plane Radio. Clay, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm good, man. You sound good. We got this whole new technology.
Oh, geez, here he goes again.
Well, he's in Wyoming. Keith's in San Luis. Where are you? Where? I don't know. Where are you, Keith?
San Luis Obispo.
Okay, good enough for me. And then, of course, me and... Ed are based here in Orlando, Florida, but we all sound like we're together, but we don't have to smell each other, which is an added bonus, and I know that applies.
Sorry, Ed.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I know Clay can appreciate that after spending some quality time up in his airplane at 11,000 feet cruising through the Caribbean a couple weeks ago, so.
With Greg and no air conditioning.
Yeah. Exactly. That's right. So I know he can definitely appreciate this technology, and that's what we're doing. We're bringing everyone together without having to smell us. And
were you wearing your orange shorts?
What's that?
Thank God he wasn't.
Oh, okay. Good.
I wasn't wearing any shorts. It was too hot in there. It was the Caribbean. Anyway, TMI, and we move on.
Please.
All right. So, Clay, first of all, thanks for having me again up in your plane there a couple weeks ago. I had a great time. I flew back commercial from St. Martin. You continued your trek back over to the Turks and Caicos, and I don't know, where'd you end up from there? Because you ended up having to do a few more legs.
Yeah, well, I flew from St. Martin. I flew commercial down to Stacia and picked up the plane. That's like 28 miles away. Mm-hmm. And then headed to stopped in San Juan for fuel, and then headed up to Turks and Caicos and spent 5 or 6 days there, and then headed back to Florida, and then went to Melbourne to get some new main gear tires put on, and then I hopped up to Charlotte, spent the night in Charlotte. That was interesting. And it's the first time I've ever felt like, you know, halfway through the taxi to the FBO, I needed to call for a fuel truck and a sandwich. But
explain that.
Welcome to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. It's a really nice FBO there. Wilson Air is great, but it took a while. I landed on the center runway instead of the left runway as originally planned, but there was a microburst in front of the left runway, so they sidestepped me over, and that was really nice of them until I had to taxi in a pouring rainstorm back to the FBO.
So it just took a while, is what you're saying.
It took a while, and mm-hmm. Most airplanes of this size at least don't have wipers, mm-hmm. and it was dark, and it was piss and rain, and it was thank God for geo-referenced airport diagrams.
Yeah. Okay, I'm on the right taxiway.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you know, next time you need to go up to that area, check out Concord.
Concord,
North Carolina. It's only just a very short ways away, maybe 10 miles away, and just one runway, nice and easy to get in and out of.
Huh, cool. Yeah, they were very nice at Wilson Air, and Keith, the other Keith that I was flying with, had to fly out commercial, so we just... dropped in there and then grabbed a hotel, and then he took a shuttle back to the terminal. But that worked out great. And then from there, I went up to Pontiac, Michigan, and I was going to shuttle my mom and stepfather down to Savannah, but they ended up with some health issues that needed to be addressed. So I spent two or three days there, and then just came home yesterday. So.
Oh, you just got back yesterday.
Wow. I just got back last night. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I'm bothering you so soon. I thought you'd been back a while.
Yeah, I figured I'd take a break of a couple of days, but no.
this fits in perfect at his show, you know, because at the beginning of the show we talked about, you know, Alaska and all the tourism industry up there, and Clay is using this airplane for his business.
Right.
And, you know, people just don't understand. Clay would have a very difficult time doing his business if he didn't have an airplane. And so many people up in Alaska, you know, they wouldn't be able to survive if they didn't have an airplane.
Well, that's kind of how we talked last week about how I really would survive much better if I had an airplane.
And the three of us, Clay mm-hmm. included, all agree that you should buy that airplane.
Yeah, I think I got Ed and Keith sold on this idea, Clay.
Yeah, did you show him that? I think it was a Cherokee 6 that I sent.
Yeah. It looked great. Yeah. I think it'd be perfect for him.
Nice airplane.
But of course, Clay, he wants my credit card for the down payment again.
Of course he does. I would think less of him if he hadn't mentioned that.
That's just a little stumbling block that we haven't yet to get over, but it's just a matter of working out a deal.
Well, like I say, you notice we said we think it'd be a great idea if Greg bought that airplane.
Yeah. Of course. You know, I mean, and it's a, you know, in all honesty, it's a, you know, the airplanes this guy sells are, he's not paying me, so I won't mention his name. You know, he does a great job in going through them. And, you know, there's always, it's an older airplane, so there's always a few little bugs to work out. But it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's something you can learn to fly in as well as be useful for what his intended mission is. It's not all that fast. It's a, you know, it's not a big step up from a 172. I mean, they really are, in a lot of respects, easier to fly than a 172.
I like the sound of that. We got that much.
Clay, have you ever figured out how much money you save every year by having your own airplane?
It's really hard to quantify in my business because, you know, it tends to be a charter saver. So if I have a charter that needs parts or whatever, instead of losing a charter, I can fly out there and you know, deliver parts. I can, I can visit boats more regularly and more often if I have the motivation to get there in my personal airplane instead of flying commercial, which is an exercise in aggravation in the Caribbean many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's really
it's in the United States too, not just in the Caribbean. Really.
But I got the plane in on May 16th, I think, and I've already got 130 hours on it.
Wow.
So I've been flying the snot out of the thing, and it's been great. It really is comfortable with it, except for that whole air conditioning compressor clutch that seized up right before the Caribbean trip, and I didn't have time to get that, you know, fully fixed.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, you know, I was a little concerned about that when we left for our trip, and you told me that, but it really wasn't a big deal at all.
Up at altitude, it's always nice and cool. I mean, you don't need it at 11,000 feet or anything probably above 5,000 or 6,000 feet generally, maybe 5,000 or 6,000 AGL, above ground level, should say, because 5,000 or 6,000 feet here is digging through dirt and you sort of need it in the summer.
Time you need it is when you're taxiing out and the prop is blowing wind back into the cabin. You just pop the door open and you have
he's got you sitting by his side holding the door open.
I was, that was my role. It was to open up the door to get some air circulation. You only had to yell at me once to make sure I did that.
Is that what you were doing? You were holding the door? I thought you were about ready to jump out.
No. I was practicing mentally to grab the ditch bag because that was the other the other role he gave me. He said, okay, we go down, you grab the ditch bag. And so, you know, I'm working through this scenario as we
You mean you didn't ride with it sitting on your lap the whole time?
No, it was like right there behind the captain's chair.
I figured you'd be sitting there with clutching it the whole time. Like,
no way.
That was a six sack.
That's not true. I live life on the edge. I didn't feel woozy at all.
No, Greg, you did great. You were certainly a great co-pilot and a great keeper of the ditch bag, and he was good to have along. And I think you probably learned a thing or two and kept up. You know, by the end of the trip, we're able to keep up with most of the radio chatter, and you realized, as I wish more people realized, how easy it is to fly internationally. It's really not a big deal.
Well, and that's what we talked about last week. I learned a lot. And for the most part, I stayed up with what he was doing. I didn't get everything, especially in the beginning, but I was definitely feeling I was keeping up with the radio chatter and trying to figure out what it was going on, because a lot of the IFR stuff was still beyond my scope of training, but I was even picking that up to a certain extent by the end.
Yeah.
I mean, the hardest part is understanding the, you know, the accents from the Cuban airliners coming out through Miami Center.
I did turn to Clay a couple times, like, what did he just say?
I am annoying.
Exactly. But Clay knew.
You want to talk about my experience with QuickBooks? No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was interesting on many levels. But it was just a blast. The scenery was just mind-blowing. You know, we had our satellite phone, And I made these sat phone calls from 11,000 feet. And still, that just tickled me pink. I just had so much fun with that. That was just amusing as hell right there.
Would have been doing a happy dance if he hadn't been sitting down.
I'm telling you what. I'm surprised you didn't call me on your way back, Clay. I thought sure I'm going to get a drunk dial from Clay. Dude, I'm at 11,000 feet. Because I let him keep their sat phone there.
Doing my Greg impression. I did call Caribbean Explorer 2, the boat that we were on a couple weeks ago, and talked to Ian, the captain, and said, dude, I'm at 11,000 feet over the Caribbean. Which is what I heard, the voicemail that I heard Greg do.
That's the only way you're allowed to do that kind of call. That's pretty much international protocol, I think.
Okay.
All right, more coming up on Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Now go, fly, be free.
Time for me to fly. Oh, I gotta set myself free. Time for me to fly. That's just how it's got to be. I know it hurts to say goodbye, but it's time for me to fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Also, all the way from Wyoming, his home base of operations, Captain Clay, is now back home in his Piper Saratoga. You're not in the plane right now. You're just at home by your computer.
I am at home. I just saw the plane. I missed it. I hadn't, I flew 45 hours over the last 2.5 weeks. I put it in the hangar, and 18 hours later, I was back there looking at some little glitches that need to get resolved. But it's doing fine, and I'm back at home.
Excellent.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, and we got a few little products that we want to mention that I hadn't had a chance to go over lately. Now, some of them we used on our trip, but one of them was from my GoFlight. They have this new product called Armor Glass that I picked up one at AirVenture when I was out there at Oshkosh.
Yeah.
And they are making a an iPad protective cover that's kind of like to a level that I've never seen before. This is actually real glass. It's that you put on top of your iPad, and it's stiff. It's not like a flimsy protector, but because it's glass, it's actually super protective. You could literally scratch it with a nail and it won't do anything. And it's very smooth because it is glass. So it feels just like your iPad cover and sees, you know, and smoother and clearer than some other products I've seen out there.
How is it with glare?
It's great. The one I have is just like it's the matte finish one. So they have a glossy one and a matte finish. So that has no glare.
So it's anti-glare as well.
Yeah, but it's super heavy duty. Would have been great to have on our trip. I didn't bring my iPad on that trip with Clay. So I didn't have it out there. But it's really good to the touch. MyGoFlight.com. Check it out. It's called Armor Glass. If you're looking for things to protect your cell phone.
They make them for the Mini?
I believe they do. Absolutely. Ooh. Yeah, brand new product. It debuted at AirVenture there a few weeks ago.
Ooh.
And I think, they keep coming out with cool stuff there at MyGoFlight.com. Also, the other thing that, we had available to us on Clay's flight through the Caribbean, there was this Spare Air. They make one. You know, this is actually a dive product that I'm very familiar with. And I know Clay is, too, owning a liveaboard dive operation scattered around the world. But they also make these little air tanks, mini air tanks, that you could use at altitude if you got into a pressurized situation. I guess it's for that too, but it's really if your plane went down, right, Clay? Or is it both?
Well, no, it's the idea of it is emergency air supply if you lose pressurization, you lose your oxygen system, as I understand it.
Okay. Well, it would go both ways. It's actually they make it for helicopter pilots more for even a fixed wing because, if the helicopter goes down in water and flips over, it can be difficult, and this gives you a little, a few breaths of air to get out safely and swim to safety.
What about smoke in the cockpit? How long does it last?
Well, that's a good point too. They make different sizes, but it'll cover you for a little while there. Yeah, enough at least, more than without for sure.
Yeah, I guess it's multiple purposes. But, it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, you go to spareair.com. You can check it out. I think it's called the Hex System for aviation. I believe, but Spare Air is the brand that they use for their dive product, but then they make this one for helicopters and pilots and stuff like that you might want to check out as well. Now, the other thing was I almost felt like a stalker because when I did split off with Clay, I started watching his flight plan on FlightAware.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you tell all your friends to do there, Clay, and family?
Yeah, basically, my family is, a few of them at least, have set up on FlightAware with the alert, so they know when I've filed and when I land and when I take off and all that fun stuff. So it greatly decreases the number of phone calls I get as soon as I land somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that incorporating the Spot technology, or is that only with your IFR plan?
No, I believe, and Keith and Ed might correct me on this because I'm no expert, but I believe it works off ATC records as well as off some of the ADS-B system. Because I know if you look at various points on FlightAware, it'll give you the source of where it got that information of where you were and how fast you were going and all that fun stuff.
That it is ATC-based and most commonly with IFR flight plans, but you will sometimes see VFR flight following here around Florida. They'll show up a track on there. Depending on if they're with, generally if they're with Miami Center, they'll show up there. But with Orlando Approach Control, they won't. So, not exactly
goes,
sure.
I think if it goes to the center, if it goes to the center system, then it'll show up. If it stays with Approach, it won't.
Yeah,
got it. So, but you had one of these Spot things from Globalstar as well.
Yep.
But that's a wholly totally different website you can go to, and it actually leaves little breadcrumbs of. Pings, I guess, that the Spot device is sending to the satellite and that people could track your location that way as well. So that's an added element of safety and trackability as well, I guess, right?
Yep, and that's a long way from when Lindbergh flew the Atlantic.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm hip. And that worked all through the Caribbean. You had no problem having that track you as well, right?
Yeah, that's worldwide. Or essentially worldwide. There might be some blank areas, but I don't think there are very many. So, it just broadcasts to the GPS satellites your location at a certain time, and it goes, you know, every 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever you set it at. You know, mine's an older model. The newer models are motion sensitive, so if you're not moving, it won't use battery power. But if you are, then it'll ping the satellites, and you can also use it to send. You can program a button to, you know, I think it's called the OK button. You can press that, and you just program your account to say when you press OK, it'll send an email to as many email addresses as you want that says, you know, I'm OK, such and such a point. It's a pretty handy little gizmo to carry around.
I'm going to get one, and you should get one, too. And on that note, we'll leave it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far, cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.